You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The National Party said after the government's announcement it opposes the reforms and they will reverse the changes if they are in government. The party's leader, Judith Collins, said the changes came at a wrong time. It's too centralised in Wellington, while the Māori Health Authority is a move towards a quote-unquote separatist model. Dr. Shane Retty is National's deputy leader and spokesperson for health, and I spoke to him earlier about the reforms this morning. I want to kick things off by wanting to know what your thoughts on the government's health sector review.
So I think the reforms are reckless, and I think they're rushed. And I think if we look at a number of areas of concern, it really is a bit of a mess, actually. Let me go over there. First of all, we don't know any costs. Absolutely no costs have been described as to what this major restructuring is going to require from the taxpayer, and therefore whether it's going to be effective and efficient. It's not quite true. We know one cost. What we know is the cost of the transition unit, which is the unit that got to the starting line yesterday. So consultants that had talked and thought about this, we know that's $5 million. So we consumed $5 million of taxpayer funding before we even got to the starting line yesterday. And that's funding that's not going into hips or knees or hands or cataracts. And I choose those because those are the four most common elective procedures. But we have no idea of what the costs. It seems to be a bit of a secret maybe for this restructuring will be. Secondly, the timing. We're still coming out of a 1-in-100-year pandemic. We've passed the vaccination program to DHBs. Is this really the best time to be removing DHBs and to be restructuring the health system in such a major way? I'd suggest to you the answer to that is no, and that at best that timing might be in 1 or 2 years, in 2 years' time. So we have concerns, and I have concerns around cost and timing. If I addressed each of the four arms that were announced yesterday, the first was around removing DHBs, and real grave concerns around the loss of the local voice, that local knowledge, that local sensitivity, that understanding your community better than anyone else, that will really set health backwards, I believe, out in those regions. And I know that because we've lived this before. In the 1990s, they were called RHAs. And certainly for us here in Northland, we're in the same RHA grouping that we were in the 1990s. And what happened for us was all our health needs and wants and aspirations disappeared into the complex problem that is Auckland. And so, you know, we have real concerns that this is what will happen to smaller areas, the Wairarapas, the West Coast, the Tairawhitis. Their needs will disappear into the bigger problems of large metropolitan areas. So concerns for removal of DHBs. The second arm was that the Ministry of Health is going to be broken up, and one arm will look after funding and one arm will look after policy. And what will happen here is it will likely follow the international experience where they'll end up competing with each other. And one will say, well, look, I'm the decision maker because I'm the policy shop. And the other arm will say, no, I am because I'm the funder. And eventually the competition will be so severe that we'll get reduplication and actually get no productive gains from that at all. Oh, and by the way, there's a tragic sense of deja vu with that as well, because we've also done that before. Around about 2009, it was called the National Health Board. It lasted for a year and failed and was disestablished. The third arm is the Māori Health Authority. And what I'd say is absolutely acknowledge the inequities that the Māori have in Māori health and that have had for a number of years. But I don't believe one system and the mechanism proposed by this government is the way to address that. I think any health system as its first priority needs to focus on needs, and the greatest need get the greatest resource. And then it becomes a really simple joining of dots. You know, Māori tend to have the worst health metrics, therefore the greatest need on any health measure you want to name, and so the resources would flow accordingly. I think there also should be, if we're to set up a set of principles that we critique a health system against, there needs to be one health system with end-to-end care, integrated care. I think that care needs to be closer to the bedside and closer to home. There needs to be targets and accountability and I believe Māori health outcomes will be improved with an underpinning around the Treaty of Waitangi. So those are sort of five principles that I'd suggest be applied to the restructuring proposals yesterday, and that we would apply as well. The fourth arm that was mentioned yesterday is a national public health agency. And you know, I could support that. I think there's something in that that does make sense. Need to see the detail. But that is something that certainly in a pandemic and for other parts of our public and population health, I think there could be some merits in that. So would like to see the detail to it.
Okay, that's quite a lot of things to dive into, but I will start with the DHBs first. But surely, Dr. Reddy, 5 million people population, 20 bureaucracies into rolling out health services, 20 different systems of doing that, that's probably too many, isn't it?
So there are some functions that can be amalgamated, for example, maybe asset management planning. So we can achieve some efficiencies through a back office amalgamation, but not at the expense of the local voice. That is absolutely premier. So I think removing that local identity, that local knowledge that is associated with DHBs, that will set us backwards. But I have no issue with amalgamation of some of the functions that go with DHBs. There can be some benefits, and we've seen some of that with some regional collaborations over the past few years.
But on the DHB election, board elections themselves, I'm sure quite a lot of people don't even know who their DHB board's members are. Maybe there should be more work done by that to increase the recognition.
I think you're right, and I want to acknowledge all those elected DHB members who for many years have contributed to their local DHB. I was privileged to sit for three consecutive terms on a DHB, and I know their voice was heard, and I disagree with the Minister who said this morning on television that they've made no contribution. Effectively, that's how I interpreted what he was saying, and I think that disrespects the contribution that I've seen. Your point is well made, that that's actually how we promote and message that people from your community have the privilege to be voted in onto your local DHB. That's more about that promotion and signalling at a campaign level.
Okay, but on to the Māori Health Authority. There has been reports earlier this week that says Māori are much more likely to die in the 30 days following major trauma than non-Māori. By opposing a Māori Health Authority, are you not planning to address this?
Absolutely not, and I think evidence like that is irrefutable. Let me point you to the Select Committee about 3 weeks ago, where we had Ashley Bloomfield, the Director General in the Ministry of Health, in front of us. And I said to him at that time, Dr. Bloomfield, I need you to explain to me on the data that you've sent me here why the Pharmac subsidy for Māori is $50 less per year per person than non-Māori. How do we explain that? There's something not right with that. And Ashley said to me, Shane, you know, you're right. I was chatting with Sarah Fitt yesterday, the CEO of Pharmac, and we're looking into that as well. And what I said to him, so Ashley, next year when you come before this committee again, that is, you've got a year, I need that figure to be down to zero. There should be no difference for the same conditions for Māori to be receiving $50 less Pharmac subsidy than non-Māori. My point here is absolutely accept the inequities that are in the system, absolutely accept the inequities that are there for Māori, but don't believe that the framework that's being put forward yesterday is the way to get there to fix that.
Okay, apologies, Dr. Reddy, but what would National have done?
So we do several things. First of all, we support the local voice. And so particularly, and this is often the question asked around Māori health, what we do is we would require every DHB to have an annual strategic Māori health plan. So they're required to have a number of plans, an annual plan, a district plan. We would sit this at that very high level right beside these other plans. That makes it board accountable. And what we'd have is we'd have local iwi and local people figure out what are the highest priority inequities for them, and then what the interventions would be, and then that becomes an accountability measure over that following year. we're all held to account for those measures at the end of a year time. We look back, how did we do, and then we project forward what do we need to be doing in next year. So to focus on these inequities that we're addressing, particularly around Māori health, we would bring an annual strategic Māori health plan right down to a community level and have accountability around that.
Okay, but what about equal access between DHBs? Now, Counties Manukau DHB doesn't have any abortion services, and anyone who lives in that postcode will have to go to Auckland DHB, and that's quite far away. How is not abolishing DHBs going to address this kind of unequal access?
Okay, so you're absolutely right. That's the postcode lottery we're talking about, and I could give you other examples. For example, it turns out that I think about 8 DHBs have pain clinics. One of the common presentations to emergency departments is pain, and maybe that's why we've got overflowing emergency departments. Postcode lottery requires several things. Actually, it turns out that DHBs don't use the same scoring mechanism to prioritise people, so there needs to be one scoring mechanism across the country, and then there needs to be one access level, what's called a CPAC score, one CPAC score for every single condition. It's the same score across the country, so that if you have a certain level of disability and disorder at one place of the country, if you cross the boundary to your next DHB, it's that same threshold to treat. And so that would be how you'd address postcode lottery.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.